We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, now when you get that kind of introduction from Kevin Colleen, like, it really doesn't get any better than that. And knowing that, you know what, I would miss any holiday party to be hanging out at KMOX with Kevin Colleen. So, yeah, let him, pipe him in. Kevin, you pipe in.
Jane, you know, we're missing, you know, the station party.
I know. We are missing the intercom party.
But we won't commit any faux pas. Well, at least I have on the air, but, you know, at least, you know, corporately.
Oh, you know what? And there's usually a good chance that I would. So, you know, I'm glad we got to talk etiquette this evening. So, you know, that would prevent me. But I wonder, why do you think it is that let's get Duker to go on the air when we're at the party? I mean, do you think they just didn't want to invite me? What do you think, Kev? Should I take it personally, or should I just be happy?
No, I think that's a compliment. You are just like a wound up Tonka toy, and they know that you're going to come in here and
really
carry
zoom it
the
up.
Show.
Yeah, and talk to all these other night owls out there that are going to and fro from their holiday parties.
But I thought, I have to go type my little sentences, but I thought you made a very interesting point about why you don't go to parties.
I go to...
That's kind of sad. I bet that's a fate of a lot of professionals like you.
Well, no, I mean, I go to a select few.
People corner you.
People corner me.
And
they
what do they say?
And they want things. They're like, oh, can you help me with this? Or can you do this?
Legal issues.
Right? Legal, political, anything. I mean, really, seriously. Yeah. At least
you're not an orthodontist. They don't say, look at my cleft palate. You know?
Yeah, or an OB. That would be bad. But... So I'm just happy to be here with you. And
podiatrists have this problem too. Really
they
bad.
Do.
They have to go in the back room with people. Look at, you know,
at feet.
Ingrown issues.
I don't think I could be a podiatrist for real. Now, Kevin Colleen is suffering from a tiny cold, but on Monday we have the holiday play, the holiday radio show that everyone listening must listen to. I mean, Kevin
is
our, it's a comedy and it's always funny. And he's our writer, our director, our rock.
I write the recipe that's thrown out.
Oh, yes.
As everyone puts a dash of this and a dash of that in. But it's
always
Sunday night,
fun. Monday night
at 7.
Yes. And so everybody needs to tune in, and it'll replay again on Christmas Day, usually. And it is so much fun. And Kevin is a rock star. He'll never admit it, but he's amazing. And I don't know how he writes these phenomenal plays every year. He comes through and hits it out of the park. So I'm excited. I've been doing my voice exercises. You know, to get ready for, and you know what's great is we will get there, and he will just say, that is horrible. Like, you can't say it like that. I love it. He's the best director ever, and he gets the best out of
everyone.
I don't
know. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'll just say this. It's like that scene in the Charlie Brown Christmas where everybody's just dancing, and and Charlie's like, you know, this is a disaster.
And it's a fun disaster. So thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Jane. I know that you will create scandal on the airs.
I try. Okay, so now we're going to talk about something like, you know, normal. And so I am so excited to have Joseph McIntyre. And he is going to tell us, there's new data in. And he is going to tell us about the 2019 state of tech hiring in St. Louis. So, Joseph, are you with us?
Jane, I'm here.
I am so excited. So tell us about the new data. Now, you are a division director for Robert Half Technology. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us about the exciting numbers.
Yeah, and by the way, you guys sound great. I'm not sure why they wouldn't want you at the holiday party.
Hey,
you guys sound like a great time.
Okay, you win. You win the night, and thank you very much. So, all right. So tell me a little bit about where you work, what do you do, and about these exciting numbers.
Yeah, so I'm with Robert Half Technology, and I've been with the organization going on 10 years. And my role is to work with our St. Louis teams as well as our Chicagoland teams, both for internal hiring and training and development, as well as working with clients and candidates to help them, you know, fill open positions in this difficult economy for hiring candidates. It's a great economy, which is creating a lot of these issues that our clients are seeing. So happy to talk through the data and any questions that you guys might have.
Yeah. So tell us about the data. So, you know, the 2019 state of tech hiring in St. Louis. How are we doing here?
We're doing great. St. Louis is a really great market for hiring, especially in the technology field. And if you're an IT professional out there, you're in a really good field for your profession. From a hiring manager standpoint, what we're finding is they're having a really difficult time identifying key candidate skill sets, and that's creating a little bit of a challenge. And so we've got advice and information that might be beneficial to both parties. I'll tell you that in St. Louis specifically, 95% of IT managers that we talk with plan on hiring in the first half of 2019. I mean,
that's huge.
That's a large number. I mean, you know, just walk down the street. If you've got a neighbor, if they're an IT decision maker, they're looking to hire next, you know, first half of next
year. So what are the kind of skill sets? So what kind of IT professionals are they looking for? I mean, are we talking management types? Are we talking coding? Are we talking, I mean, are there specific skill sets that we're short on?
Yeah, there's a lot of skills out there that are in need. I would say that the most urgent skills needed are in the cybersecurity space. You've probably heard of cloud computing.
Yes.
You think about cloud security, cloud computing professionals, and that's creating a different problem looking at cloud architecture as well as software development and web development professionals. Everything is moving to the cloud. You probably hear that.
And, oh, yeah.
Everything that we do from a data perspective is being analyzed out there. So anything in the database administration, database development arenas, that's really where technology demand is moving and shifting. And so that's the real challenge. 83% of managers out there looking for those skills find that those are the most challenging areas to find skilled talent because the technology in some cases is a little newer.
Right. And so, and it is moving so fast, and especially in the cybersecurity area. I mean, to stay ahead of, you know, what's going on out there. Now, is St. Louis following a national trend? How are we, you know, vis-a-vis some of the other areas in the country? Are we, you know, are we really needing talent? Or are we, you know, how do we fare?
This is, you know, surprisingly, these numbers, increased from my viewpoint maybe a quarter ago. It is following the national trend. I mean, these are the same skill sets that are in demand elsewhere. Mm-hmm. These are the same skill sets that companies are having challenging times identifying candidates. I think in St. Louis, there's a great labor market in St. Louis. There's a great economy there. So I think it's following very, very much what the national perspective is doing. There's a lot of great organizations there as well that would probably mirror a larger market like in New York or Chicago or in L.A., St. Louis has a lot of great businesses there as well.
Well, so, I mean, all the healthcare we have here. I mean, think of the IT needs for just the sheer, you know, Centene and the BJC system. And I just think about some of that, and
Diversity,
the IT needs. And the IT needs for that. I mean, so, you know, Boeing. And I mean, we do. We've got a lot of good companies there. Well, it's good to hear you say that, you know, our economy is doing pretty well here, at least. So, and it can only look up, and hopefully we can attract some of this talent.
A lot of optimism there, absolutely.
Well,
and I think
great.
Organizations, there are things that companies can do to, you know, help attract talent. And and I would say too that if there are hiring managers out there looking, you know, how can I be competitive? Ongoing training. There are a lot of great, you know, we call them user groups, but they're basically, you know, think about Microsoft or Oracle, Cisco. These organizations have localized groups that meet to talk about education opportunities, to talk about what's happening. And so organizations that encourage their employees or encourage their skilled employees to go and learn new skills and network with other, you know, IT professionals, organizations are really backing that. And we're also finding, you know, ongoing education, so sending them to industry events. There's a lot of different conferences to help with training of some of these skills that maybe are newer or harder to find. That's attracting candidates. You know, people are wanting to learn, they're wanting to get better, they're wanting to adapt new technologies, and so we encourage organizations to offer those things.
Well, and I would imagine that traditional colleges, I mean, there's not going to be just, okay, we're going to hand you this degree program, and this degree program is going to get you on the cutting edge of, you know, IT. I mean, there probably does need to be, because I think it probably, the job skills are moving faster than I would bet higher ed can, you know, catch up. So
It's the fundamentals that they're teaching. And we talk to a lot of folks that are coming out of college, and universities are doing a great job equipping, new grads in the IT space. They are. Now we still continue to get questions on what should we be learning, what should we be teaching. But I would say that candidates are coming out with the fundamentals. The folks that are coming out and doing more than what their curriculum in college might suggest, you know, learning new technologies, learning new development languages on their own or through some of these industry events, those folks are becoming more and more appealing because they're obviously investing in their technology background.
Well, that is great. Well, this is great news. You get to come on the radio when you have good news like that. This is good stuff. I mean, you know, you hear a lot of negative stuff, but this has got some really good prospects in it, and this is a good area for St. Louis to compete.
It's a great area. And I would say, too, that it's not just, you know, when people hear hiring, it's not just, you know, full-time hiring. You know, we're hearing a lot more organizations moving towards contract labor or project professionals, which allows companies to bring in, you know, skill sets that maybe their current team doesn't have, whether it be for a training opportunity or for a cross-training opportunity, but more importantly, to get the work done. So there's a lot of more organizations, you know, now looking at project professionals than maybe in the past.
That's great, gives people flexibility.
Yeah. It gives them flexibility, and candidates get to learn new skill sets, you know, learning different environments and new technologies. It's great. So,
well, Joseph McIntyre, you are you're a man bearing good news. And where can people find you? I mean, if people want to, you know, talk to Robert Half Technology and get some ideas on, you know, either hiring people or getting hired, how would they find you?
They're absolutely welcome to look at our website, roberthalftechnology.com.
Great.
And if they're a candidate, there's a way that they can search our current open positions in the local market. And if they're a client, they can actually search our current database real time in our candidate browser tool just by going to roberthalftechnology.com. So we encourage both client or candidate to go see what we can do to help them out.
That's great. Well, I'm sure I'll be checking in with you again. And this is phenomenal information for IT people, both hiring and for people who are looking for jobs. Well, great.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're really going to switch gears and we're going to talk about a different profession. We're going to talk about nannies. So come back really soon after the break. This is Jane Duker, KMOX. Good evening, everyone. This is Jane Duker, and I'm doing our nighttime at your service here. It is kind of a chilly, rainy night. I think tomorrow is going to be a little better. We'll still get maybe a little bit of rain, but it won't be as bad. But tomorrow, you usually hear me on Friday afternoons between 2 and 4, and I always do the roundtable with Mark Reardon. But we are sort of modifying that because tomorrow we are going to be doing Bikes for Tykes, or Tykes for Bike, Bikes for Tykes, Bikes for Tykes, of course. And we are going to be out at Graboid Bluffs, which is near 141 and 44. And we are going to be getting bikes for kids. So how can you not come to that? So you can join me, Mark Reardon, Chris Raby, Dan McLaughlin, and we are going to be all about bikes and all about kids tomorrow. We're going to talk a little soccer and maybe some stuff in between, but come visit us. So it is always fun. You can come talk to us and buy a bike or donate. And then you can come see how the sausage is made on the round table. And I'm not sure if Danny knows what this is like, so we're gonna have to break him in. Raby, we've already tormented him one or two times on the roundtable, so he at least knows what he's getting into. So we've covered a lot of topics. Had a great segment last talking about tech hiring in St. Louis. So go to the web in just a little while, and you can hear that segment. If you're an IT professional or you're a company or someone looking for IT help, you know, we've got some great information for you. And, you know, IT people are needed in St. Louis. I know that's a shocker, but that's great. So now we are going to switch gears and talk about a different profession. We are going to talk about being a nanny, and which is a great time because Mary Poppins has been remade. And I know that's always a dicey move because, you know, really, Julie Andrews, Dick Van Dyke, you think you're going to do better? I mean, honestly, I thought it could be a train wreck because, you know, that's a hard thing to beat. But evidently this film is doing great. And what's great about it and why we have our next guest is, you know, why is Mary Poppins still relevant? Why is a remake possible? Why, you know, in this day and age, is it something that people still want to hear about? So I have the Windy City Nanny, and her name is Florence Ann Romano. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am so glad. I mean, what a unique topic. And you know, and it's very timely with Mary Poppins coming out. And you know, why don't you explain to our viewers who you are and why you are the Windy City Nanny, and then maybe we could talk about, you know, the relevance of, you know, nannies and how Mary Poppins is relevant now as it was when it first came out.
Oh my gosh, how much time do you have for me to tell you my whole journey?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I know you were a nanny for at least, what, like 15 years, did I read? God bless you.
15 years? Yes, it's true. I started as a mother's helper at about 11 years old, and then it just kind of morphed into babysitting, which then morphed into nannying, and I just loved it. It was such a big part of my heart, and once I kind of retired from being a nanny, I wanted to kind of dive into things a little bit deeper from the consultant side of things and stay connected to children and families in that way, and that led me to writing my book, Nanny and Me, which helps children understand the transition of being cared for by parents to being cared for by a nanny or a caretaker. And what's so interesting about the world that we live in today and the remake of Mary Poppins is that 64%, over 64% of families in America today have a nanny. And if you look at that statistic and how it rises in line with the employment rate, you know, this is not just a trendy thing that's going on in the world today. This is part of our culture. And
it
when
really
you see
is.
Mary Pop, right? I mean, it is. I mean, this is really, you know, what America is made up of today and even beyond that. But Mary Poppins being remade is actually, I think, more relevant now than ever with that being the statistic.
Well, I mean, I think it affects more people. I mean, I'm a working mom, and, you know, mm-hmm. and so you make the decision, okay, am I going to do a nanny? Am I going to do daycare? Am I going to, you know, I mean, so back then, you know, it wasn't embedded in our culture, but, you know, there are more working moms than ever. I mean, and so this is a part of all of our, you know, like you say, all of our culture. And frankly, I think we're a lot more comfortable with it, and it affects a lot more people's lives.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is such a big difference today with childcare. Is it's no longer this taboo subject of, oh my gosh, she's got a nanny, she's got someone helping her, oh my goodness.
Right. You know, is there something wrong with her? Right.
Right, exactly. She's not taking care of her kids. Why is she having kids? She's not taking care of them. You know, that's not happening. You know, there is mommy shaming that happens out there and daddy shaming and all of that. But I have to say, you don't hear that as much
it's
anymore.
It's gotten better.
Right. It has, because, you know, women and men are working outside the home, both because they want to or they have to, whatever the reason is. But the common denominator is they need help. And what I really like to focus on is the role model that the nanny is in the child's life. And that's also a connector with, you know, Mary Poppins, was what was the influence that Mary Poppins had, not just on the children, but
right,
on the
whole family. Yes,
exactly.
And you know what's interesting? I mean, and I'm very curious to see the movie because, you know, the hard part is when you looking at Mary Poppins, the first version, and being a working mom, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know, no one is as perfect as Mary Poppins. I mean, you know, I mean, no mom, no nanny, nobody is perfect. You know, you sit there and say, I look horrible compared to Mary Poppins. But the good thing about it was the positive role model that it showed, that it didn't show it as something that was kind of shameful and kind of, it was uplifting. Right. It was positive and right. How that can be a positive force. And, you know, and so I'm assuming that you work and you consult on this topic all the time. How do you make it positive? And I mean, you know, how do you know you're getting the right nanny, and how does that positive image happen?
Well, I think that, you know, there are two things. I think what you said about, you know, looking at Mary Poppins and thinking, oh, how perfectly perfect she is. And, mm-hmm. you know, there is that idea that, you know, Julie Andrews played this amazingly perfect, you know, nanny that just had everything, you know, spick and span and right. But if you watch the movie, I think as you get older, you think, okay, well, she's a little sassy. She's a little tough. I don't know. Hold on a second
right.
here. You know,
right.
I don't
everything
know.
Was black and white with her. Like, there, you know. That was, I mean, it sure made it look easy, right? If I, you know, everyone tells you, oh, yeah, let your kid cry themselves to sleep. Okay, well, that's real easy until you're sitting in the hallway listening to your kid cry and you can't breathe.
Oh, gosh. Right.
You know?
You're like, I just have to leave the house. Someone
right.
let me out of here. I can't
right.
take it. You know, that leads to a really interesting topic of what is the definition of the perfect nanny? And this is really how you find that perfect nanny. You have to know thyself. That's what I always say all the time. As a family, you have to know what your values are. And I'm not talking about religion or politics, even though that is included. I don't get on a soapbox about that. I'm saying what's important to you guys in your family, and what do you need to be an extension of that for you? A nanny is your eyes, your ears, and your heart. So you have to hire someone that is going to be an extension of all of that and able to be a role model for your children. Now, what is interesting about that is sometimes what I'm seeing happen is that you want the opposite of yourself in a nanny. For example, there are, gay families now, have lots of children, and they're making, families in so many different ways now. Mm-hmm. And, perhaps two moms decide that they want to have a male nanny so that the child has a male influence. So that's a little bit of a progressive.
You can compensate for some of the things that you know might help, round out and bring expertise or a perspective that maybe you can't offer.
Exactly. And, there's no wrong way to make a family. I always say that. I'm not here to tell you what's the right way to do it. I'm here to help you figure out what's right for your family. So it's finding that person that is going to be an extension of you, but also be able to be an extension of the values regarding nutrition, regarding discipline, regarding homework and all of that.
The day-to-day stuff. And, like you say, it's like all these, everything's rotating. You got all these wheels that are rotating and when you bring someone in your home, their wheel has to fit with your wheel. And
that's a beautiful way of putting it. Exactly. And then you got to, move forward with
and
that.
Wheel, right. And everybody's turning, and you got to make sure that, everything can still turn together, which is, it's another balancing act that working moms and working dads and families, have to balance. And when it's going great. I mean, the hard part is when it's not going great and you have to sort of, figure it out.
And, and that's okay. There's no shame in there being, a rockiness in the relationship. That's relationships. No matter if it's a romantic relationship or a friendship, rockiness. And there has to be open communication. There has to be transparency, especially if you're trusting someone with your children. This is the time to be the most transparent.
Absolutely.
About what the expectations are. And nannies, too. You have to be transparent about what your expectations are of the family and them as your employer.
Absolutely.
So all around, you have to be transparent.
Well, this is a great topic because I can tell you, I have meenagers now. And, and even in the time that my kids have grown, things have changed. I mean, and thankfully, because I will tell you, it's hard. And it's hard to be a working mom. It's hard to be a working dad. When you're at work, you're worried about home. When you're at home, you worry about work. And you feel like you're not doing either well. And that balance is constant. It's, you never feel like you're perfectly in balance. But at least now, there is less shaming. It is still going on. I still get it. But it is much better than it used to be. And making this topic... thank you to people like you and to even Mary Poppins for making this topic not so taboo and making and stop the shaming. We're all there. There's
exactly. And as for you, I want to tell you, as a working mom, kudos to you, because I'll tell you, your kids see that and they see a work ethic and they say, oh, you know what? I'm proud of my mom. I want to be like my mom one day. That's what I always tell, young kids and young moms, saying you're good.
It's going to happen. And when you hear your kids, and the moment I knew is when I heard my kids talking to their friends about me, then I was like, okay, this is what I always hoped would happen. You know what I mean? And so, and it's hard.
Like sizes, but it's hard in those moments where you're crying yourself to sleep, where you're like, am I doing the right thing for my kids? And you have to wait for that kind of that validation to come, maybe some years down the line. But
Amen.
If your heart's in the right place, which clearly yours is, I can hear it from your voice. These kids are going to grow up to have all the things that they need, to make their hearts glow and their minds, sharp and all of those things to make them successful human beings. So I'm very, very thrilled to hear, that you said that that's what your kids have to say about you. That's the holy grail.
Oh, it is. Well, you need it, because after they tell you, well, what do you mean you can't make cookies? What do you mean you can't come? You need that, Well, Florence, it has been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to Mary Poppins coming out. So,
Me too. Thank you for having me and getting to, talk to you. It was just so lovely.
Well, have a great night. Enjoy your holidays, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
You too. I hope so. Ditto. Thanks.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that everybody loves, which is getting out of Dodge and talking about travel. So this is Jane Duker on KMOX at your service.
Let's go Blues! Hey Blues fans, Joey Vitale here. Friday night, the Blues host the Colorado Avalanche in a rematch from 2 weeks ago of the great overtime win from the Blues in Colorado. Don't miss any of the action from Enterprise Center. The pregame show is at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 right here on your home for Blues Hockey, KMOX.
Let's go Blues!
Hello, this is Jane Duker again. And we are doing an At Your Service nighttime version. So this is At Your Service After Dark. I just made that up. But anyway, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm usually Fridays with Mark Reardon, the Rear Round Table, and then we have some, you know, usual afternoon fun. But excited to do the Night Owl thing. I've tried to bait people who are, you know, coming home from holiday parties and after a few cocktails to call in and tell me their, like, worst holiday or Christmas gift, and gotten no takers. That's just sad. I mean, I know that there's some great stories out there. Also, if you want to come in and just tell, like, something awkward that happened at your holiday party, I'm happy to listen to that. You can even do it somewhat anonymously. You don't even have to say who you're talking about. But if something weird happened, I mean, I'm going to be here till 10 if you want to call in with a good story. But we've had some interesting topics, and we've talked everything about, you know, nannies, tech hiring, you know, convention center, and but now this is the topic. This is what everybody wants to know about after we, you know, get all of our holiday family time in, and we've had just about enough of all of it. You know, the holidays are just long enough to make you be ready to be done with them. Well, what are you going to want to do when you're done with the holidays? You want to travel. You want to go somewhere, like, you know, January's in St. Louis. Yeah, that makes everybody want to go somewhere. So I'm very excited to have Gig Gwynn, who's a travel specialist at Gwynn's Travel, come talk to us about some cool travel ideas. You know, you need to hit me with them. I need something to look forward to. How you doing?
Well, Jane, I'm doing great. You know, speaking about weird stories, here's a weird one for you.
Oh, please.
The economy is booming. The market's at 24,000.
Mm-hmm.
People have extra money. People have been traveling in large numbers, particularly for the last year and a half.
Really? So you're seeing a huge uptick. I mean, just let's start there. People are getting out of Dodge.
Well, there's no question. People have money.
That helps.
You know, that you can, when the stock market's at 16, you can still travel. But when it's at 24, you can say to yourself, you know, I've got extra money here.
I want to get out. I want to go somewhere.
People have been. And here's what I think is the weird part of the story. Out of a clear blue sky, with things just booming, there seems to be a surge of cruise lines that are offering bargains.
Oh, tell me about that, because I like to cruise. I mean, some people are a little wiggy about it. I always tell them to kind of give it a chance before you, you know, say no. But, you know, so are people, you know, getting into the cruises? Are you seeing that people are doing that more?
Well, they are for sure. And, you know, a lot of resorts have gone to all-inclusives. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And people really like all-inclusives.
Yeah, it's easy. It really, I'm one of those people, because you sort of know going in. I mean,
sure,
you know you'll have extras, but you do want to know, okay, what is this going to cost? Because, frankly, it allows you to relax more if you know, you know, going in, what you got that all taken care of. All the money stuff is basically taken care of.
And people like that peace of mind. Well, mm-hmm, you take that and just move it one notch over into cruise lines. Cruise lines are basically also all-inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They handle an awful lot of stuff, and what you generally pay for is the additional add-ons would be the touring, the sightseeing, the ports of call,
alcohol,
drinks,
sodas,
and gratuities, and for the majority of the cruise lines. Now, what I'm seeing is a tick up where cruise lines are offering buy one, get one at half off.
That's good.
Free air in some cases, or they're giving you credit.
On the ship.
Sometimes real credit, $200 and $300 and $400 and $500.
Nice.
which you can then use, you know, to counterbalance your alcohol or your gratuities or your
shore excursions. Yeah, shore excursions.
I would say on my average cruise that I take a lot of them, that my sightseeing usually gets, oh, anywhere from $500 to $1,000 before I check out. But, you know, if I've got credit there, that makes my decision-making a lot easier. So
are you seeing, so why? Are they not filling the ships and they've decided they want to, or they've got a lot more, you know, demand, new ships that have come on? And
well, that's it. You just guessed it. What is happening is, 10 years ago, the cruise lines realized that balconies were very, very popular with cruisers, first-time cruisers and seasoned travelers. And so they started building ships
that had them and didn't make them an aberration and sort of built them into...
Exactly.
And it's true because, you know, when you try to... Yeah, on the older ships... I mean, it was very expensive to get to a balcony, and you know, and some people just, you know, I never minded an inside cabin, never mind even a lower level cabin because I get seasick and I like to be low anyway. But you know, but yeah, I mean, a balcony, and now these bigger ships, and they're enormous ships. I mean, and they have a lot more. I don't want to say complicated, but more extensive amenities. Anything
they
from
do.
Surfing to rock climbing to these, you know, double-story slides, and you don't even know you're on a ship most of the time.
That's the impression they want to give you.
Yeah.
But the what has happened is that all of these fine ships that do not have balconies, you can't just put a balcony on a ship.
No, you can't.
You have to build a ship from the keel up to really get... Well, those ships are still out there, and they're competing against the all-inclusive land programs and other cruise ships. And what you're finding in this booming economy is that there's actually bargains in the cruise lines. And we're talking, you know, name, you know, Princess and
Carnival,
Celebrity,
Royal Caribbean. Yeah, all of them.
These guys don't want to have, you know, and the other thing about it, as you just mentioned, is the average new ship's probably 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to fill that every week, right? So they're being a little more competitive, competing against each other, and so people ask me what's it look like for next year, and I say, well, in my opinion, cruise lines in specific and all inclusive resorts.
Those are the boom. I mean, that's where people are going. That's where people are getting their deals.
It is.
Now, are there destinations, you know, because, you know, the cruise ships, they go to, you know, various places. I mean, obviously, you got the Caribbean, you got Mexico, you can go, you know, you can do transatlantic, you can go,
sure.
I mean, you even in Europe,
where,
I mean, where are the destinations that seem to be the hottest?
Jane, here's another normal trend of we in St. Louis and everywhere in the United States. People gather together as a family during the Christmas time, and we always know what they're going to do is somewhere in the middle of that gathering, they're going to talk about vacations, family vacations, or mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa, or whatever. And a lot of decisions about vacations, and I might say out of St. Louis because it's a really big European desire in St. Louis.
I did a cruise to France and Italy, and you know what people don't understand if they don't understand about. I mean, you get to see a lot of different places.
Boy, you sure do.
And in a short period of time, I mean, everywhere from Rome to we did Nice, France. We did you know, Livorno, Italy. We did. I'm trying to remember all the ports, but. You know, and went to, you know, Monte Carlo, went to Monaco, went to, I mean, we got to see a lot and, you know, and your ship is like your hotel and it's a lot cheaper than getting a hotel, you know.
It is a lot cheaper.
All your food, all, you know what I mean? And you get to see a lot, and that's one of the benefits, you know, to a cruise that I think people underestimate.
Well, and so what you're going to see is a combination. What we travel agents always see is a splurge of phone calls in the first week of January, and it goes all the way on into the summer because people start booking their trips. Lots of people want to book on a, you know, in the summertime, want to book Alaska because it's so lovely. And a lot of the destinations in Europe that are a little nippy and cold, you know, starting in late April, you know, all those lovely med cruises, Scandinavian cruises, and some bizarre cruises, I might add, they all open up, and in a lot of cases, they're opening up with a I don't want to say a deep bargain, but certainly something to catch your eye and ear and certainly save you a little money in your pocketbook.
Well, that's nice to hear. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's been like that for a while. I mean, I think it's not like this. I mean, even just casually looking, I've seen, you know, because I've been on a number of cruises and I've seen, wow, that looks pretty good. You know, that looks like a pretty good deal. And this is the other thing I found, which I think it was not always like this, but correct me if I'm wrong. There are last-minute deals. It's not like you have to. This is. I think I was always under the impression. Oh my goodness, you better book. You know, 3, 4, 5 months in advance. You know, and but it looks like there's even some last-minute deals out there.
Well, there is. The last-minute deals are relegated to people who can go at the last minute.
Yeah, so that's hard. That can be hard. I mean, yeah,
that eliminates young families and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that last-minute deals are really the heart and soul of the retirees who travel very extensively, I might add.
Right, and but they can just get up and go. Boy,
they can.
Someday.
They can. You know, they can be, you know, you go online or you go to a travel agency where you find, you know, a list of the last-minute deals. Actually, it's less people than you think. A lot of people have certain times and restrictions, and you say, hey, boy, look at that. You won't believe the price on this trip.
And then you realize, boy, it just doesn't
fit.
I
can't go then. So it's not quite as full as you think, but certainly for saving money, it's a wonderful deal. Now, I've got a couple. I've been thinking a little bit about this, and cut me off when you need to, but there's some bizarre or exotic, if you will, trips out there.
Well, you know what? Can I have you hold? Because I do want to talk about some exotic trips. Do you mind if we take a quick break? This is Jane Duker at your service, and we're talking travel with Gig Gwynn. Do you mind if we come back and pick that up?
I'll be here.
All right. We'll come back after the break. This is Jane Duker at your service. And we're back with, I like to call it, At Your Service After Dark. I'm just making that up. But anyway, this is Jane Duker, and I am happy to be night owling tonight. I'm your usual, I'm on Friday afternoons, so this is a lot more fun. And I've been talking a wide variety of topics, but when we left off at the break, we were talking about bargain travel out there and that sort of the way the economy is. There's a lot of people with dollars out there, and there's a lot of good deals, especially in the all-inclusive arena. And I'm here with Gig Gwynn, and he's a travel specialist at Gwynn's Travel. And we wanted to talk about, you know, look, now you've decided you've got some money. Maybe you can't run away on a dime, but there's some great deals out there. But we were going to talk about maybe some exotic locations that maybe you can get there on a cruise when you wouldn't otherwise be able to get there just, you know, sort of doing it on a land or a land and, you know, land and sea package. So,
well, that's very true. And Here's one that is going to interest a specific number of people. One of the best bargains right now is Egypt.
Wow.
It's safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perfect time of year. Egypt gets pretty hot in the summer, but as a matter of fact, it gets past pretty hot.
It gets oppressive.
It'll paint you in the desert.
So how do you get to Egypt? I mean, so do you have to do? I mean, are there all inclusives? Is there a way to do it? Where?
Yeah, you can buy a package
That's helpful.
That really is very reasonable for people who haven't done Egypt. I took my wife there. She joined me kicking and screaming, not wanting to go there, and has said that might be the best trip she ever took in her life. There's a lot of things to see and do. The food's very good. The service is particularly good. And you always have a river cruise. Once you get down to Luxor, you can take a river cruise all the way down to the dam and Abu Simbel.
Well, you know what?
Right.
Where can people go to find you or find some more travel deals? We're running out of time. Can they go to your website at Gwen's Travel?
Well, they can, or they can call Gwen's or any other travel agency that deals in the international. But Egypt,
you know what? We are so out of time. I am so sorry. We're checking out. Have a great evening, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.